It is 2:08, what has turned out to be a beautiful afternoon. I've known this man for decade after decade after decade. He does a fabulous job with the Twins. The president of the Minnesota Twins, Dave St. Peter's here. How about a round of applause for Dave St. Peter? Great to have Dave out here. We just were talking with our friend Jess Myers. You open up a 9-game homestand tonight, the Cardinals. When a lot of people think of Midwest baseball, they think of the Cardinals and the draw the Cardinals were and how professional they've been and the organization. You have a lot of teams coming here and they are big draws, right? When the Blue Jays come to town, if the Cubs come here, obviously the Yankees and Red Sox and some of the big name teams. How do the Cardinals draw to the Twin Cities?
You know, Chad, first of all, it's good to be with you. Good to see you, my
Absolutely.
Friend. And yeah, the Cardinals are a good draw. I wouldn't know that. Okay. I don't know that in their current context they're a great draw. I think we're going to have nice crowds. We'll probably sell out tomorrow night, Saturday, but we have tickets for today and for Sunday and some for tomorrow. But the Cardinals are having a little bit of, I'd say, for them, they're in a little bit more of a kind of a average type year, mm-hmm. right around 500. And their attendance actually in St. Louis is down. They've had 2 or 3 days this week with the smallest crowds that they've seen in St. Louis for 10, 15 years since they moved into this new ballpark. So, look, they're a good club. We're going to see Sonny Gray tomorrow night, which will be fun. Pablo Lopez going against Sonny.
Perfect.
They're battling for a wild card. They still think they're in it. This is a big homestand. Cardinals for 3 this weekend. Then the Braves come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then the following weekend, the Toronto Blue Jays.
The business of the Twins is what? What would you say? How would you fill in that one?
I would say it's interesting right now, largely driven by local media. But, you know, I'm very bullish on where that will ultimately go, and I understand the choppiness and how it impacts fans. I think some of that has been, out of our control. Other things have played out that we didn't expect. The good news for Twins fans is, you know, I do believe that we will get to a place sooner versus later, and I think I might have said this last year, where every fan anywhere can watch any game they want, and I'm more confident than ever that will happen, Chad. Of course, you can listen to all the games on WCCO Radio.
Yeah.
But we're pushing towards, you know, I think we'll be north of, I think we'll see an attendance increase north of 2 million fans. We have some work to do the last 6 weeks. Our sponsorship business set an all-time record this year. We still think we have the best ballpark in baseball, and we're very bullish on our baseball operations leadership and the pipeline of pitching that is coming and the competitiveness of this franchise.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny. We were talking a little bit off air. The radio rights are up, and this station certainly wants it, and other stations want it, and they should. The Twins are a fantastic draw, and to have that availability of 162 regular season games and a fair amount of spring training games and a certain amount of playoff games depending on the year. If you're a radio outlet, if you're in that entertainment business, if you don't want the Twins, I'm not sure what you're trying to do. On the television side, so available to everybody soon. So people hear that and they think, is that next year? If somebody's here, and then whether they live in Nevis, they live in Lakeland Shores, they live in South Minneapolis, could that happen next year?
Has to happen next year. And what I would say to people is the baseline might be what's happening right now in San Diego, in Denver, in Arizona. Major League Baseball is working with those teams to produce games, to sell games, to distribute games. All of those teams have distribution both via linear cable satellite distribution as well as a side-by-side direct-to-consumer streaming option. It's working well in those markets. That's one clear option for us for next year. The only way we wouldn't do that is if we had a better option, something that would maybe expand that reach even further. And we're exploring all of that.
Is that possible too?
Well, we're exploring all of it, Chad. We've got a little bit of time. I'm not eager to go into the month of, I think last year we were at Twins Fest, and we were still talking about where the Twins were going to be for opening day. We need to get to a resolution sooner than that. But, there are some good options. And the content that we deliver, 150-plus local games available, still drives high ratings. It's destination programming and cuts through the clutter in a very diluted media world.
The team started slow and then has played, well, last time I checked, since the 7-13 start, you have the best record in baseball. But there was a lot of talk about the Joe Polez decision with Bally's uncertainty in the money to cut the payroll back, and then when the games are not available, how much did that talk, whether the organization thought it was fair or not, affect you with an attendance and just discussion about the team, especially because over the last 100-some games, you have the best record in baseball?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that the slow start had some impact. Some of the off-season narrative had some impact. But we've seen some really nice attendance trends, Chad. You know, since June 1st, I think our attendance has been much, much better, as it should be, frankly, between Memorial Day and Labor Day. We also had some really crummy weather in April and May.
Yeah.
But we get that. You know, this is a business. Fans have every reason, to make decisions. We have to earn their investment in our franchise, and when you don't have the television distribution that, frankly, we need to have, it can be out of sight, out of mind. And we're not the only market that's dealing with that. And you see it even to some extent in the basketball and hockey seasons, because, you know, there's just a smaller number of people that are subscribing to traditional cable satellite.
For sure.
The future of the business on the television side is streaming games.
That's right.
And that's going to take a while to build that business, and we need to get on with it.
Yeah, I mean, the future of in radio, too. You can have an over-the-air outlet like we do in our booming signal, 830, but you need to have the app. You need to have all the availability, because I'm looking at your phone. I'm holding my phone. What we can do now, Friday, August 23rd, 2024, and what we're going to be able to do Friday, August 23rd, 2026, who knows where that's going? And to be in charge of a business like yourself, to have a radio outlet like ours, TV, you better be on the forefront of that, because you need to be in front of all these people in front of us. You need to make sure that product is available to them in the multiple ways.
No question. And I think we're just on the forefront of that, and I think it's going to get only better for fans. I really truly believe that. And in baseball, we deal with some of these archaic blackout rules in some parts of the country, like Iowa. Some western Wisconsin counties can't watch the Twins. That needs to change and will change. I'm highly confident in 2025.
All right, let's pause right here. If anybody wants to ask a question in front of us and ask Dave a question, I'll bring the microphone up to you. Plus, we've got plenty of people listening right now. If you want to text a question for the president of the Minnesota Twins, Dave St. Peter, they'll be on the air tonight. Take on the Cardinals. As Dave said, it is a 9-game homestand. And the highlight of the first series is absolutely Sonny Gray, Pablo Lopez, tomorrow when the weather's supposed to be beautiful at Target Field. All the games right here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. Dave St. Peter is here. What do you think, if you would say, what has changed business-wise this year for MLB as a whole? What is it? Because for years, the two of us would talk, and I would hear you in other interviews, astutely discuss the rule changes. And the rule changes, to me, have been an A, if not an A+. I rarely hear anybody pushing back at it. It's made the game even better. And I want to get to the six-inning conversation in a little bit here about pitching. But on the business side, you deal with this every day. Those of us in the media probably deal with it a little bit more than the fans. But the business side of Major League Baseball in total, what stands out?
You know, I think that the rule changes are still paying dividends, and frankly, I personally love the speculation about future rule changes, because I think the pitch clock has given maybe our sport and our commissioner more permission to push here and to think about other radical changes. I think the best thing that's playing out in baseball right now is the is what we're set up for in both leagues down the stretch in terms of pennant races. When you look at the American League, I think the Twins are two or three games out from the best record in the American League. We're two to three games out from being out of the playoffs.
Yes, I knew you were going.
So there's not going to be a 100-win franchise in the American League or the National League,
right.
I don't believe. It is wide open. And if you're a baseball fan in a market like Minneapolis or Milwaukee or Cleveland, you legitimately believe you have a chance to win the World Series. And if you don't, you should, because I believe that can happen based on what all the analytics and all the records would show, is that every team has some flaws, and I think it's set up to be an absolutely wild finish in both the American League and the National League.
Yeah, I mean, baseball probably has I'll get you in a second. Baseball probably has as many traditionalists as any observers in media. And you go back to the three divisions and the wild cards, and there were some who thought this was basically the end of the game. Now it's few and far between, and you just absolutely nailed it, and you live it every single day. You can have teams. Let's be honest. Let's look at your team last year. You were kind of just meandering through the year and then took off. And all of a sudden you get in the playoffs and Pablo and Sonny are great. And Correa comes on and you win. And it just energizes place. Look what happened with Texas and Arizona last year. And we don't know who those teams might be this year. And the Twins are every bit in the mix as almost everybody else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Chad. And I think that's also the beauty of it. And it's why, you know, you play 162 games is to sort that out. But, I think it's going to be a roller coaster last 6 weeks. So I would say buckle up. And, I thought this week was a really good microcosm. We lost a couple games on this trip we should not have lost. The reality is we won a game or two in Texas we probably shouldn't have won.
Right.
Coming out of that 4-3, big picture, you'll take that. And hopefully we can do well on this homestand.
And you lost those games, and I agree. You absolutely could have won one or two of those games to a team. I think when you finally beat the Padres, they won like 22 of their last 29. It was something like that.
Best record in baseball since the All-Star break, the San Diego Padres.
Yeah,
I would say my pick in the National League to go to the World Series, particularly if they get Darvish back.
Over the Dodgers because the Dodgers pitching is just so uncertain?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Padres have played so well that it sounds like they're going to get Tatis back. You know, that team really disappointed a year ago. I'm just in the National League. I'm going on a limb, Chad. I'm telling you, Padres will be the National League representative in the World
Cup. All right, we'll jot that down. It also tells you how much talent they have that they traded Juan Soto. And you can still say that. You know, now they did get something in return. All right, sir. You've been here before at the fair. I recognize you. What do you want to ask Mr. St. Peter?
Yes, my brother was a major league umpire. So
that's how I know. Yes, exactly.
Dave, thanks for being here. Speaking as a season ticket holder, if that current television distribution issue is resolved in 2025, will that $30 million payroll reduction be restored?
Great question.
Fair question, too.
Just because we resolved the local TV situation for fans around distribution, allowing more fans access to the games, sadly is not going to come with economics that are going to be equivalent of what we used to have. We will likely take a further step back on television economics. It doesn't mean we will necessarily take another further step back in payroll. Our payroll for 25 is to be determined, but we're going to sit down at the end of the year. We'll take a look at it, and certainly, we have a really good club coming back. We want to win. You know, there's certainly going to be a focus on how do we put the best team on the field in 2025.
Since this gentleman brought it up, what for the folks who are listening right now and they're saying you haven't brought up the payroll, you haven't brought up the payroll to Dave. What do you say to those folks who, the open-minded ones, right? The open-minded ones, the ones that aren't just mad all the time, who still are frustrated about that cut this year?
You know, I certainly understand it. You know, Chad, I've worked for the Twins for 35 years, and for almost 30 of the 35 years, maybe 32 of the 35 years, payroll's been a narrative and a discussion.
Yep.
As part of it is the product of our league. We don't have a cap system. We don't have a floor system, so it's free market, right? I tend to think, it's more so about how you're allocating your dollars. I think the Poleheads deserve credit for investing to bring Carlos Correa to Minnesota, to lock up Pablo Lopez. They did sign Joe Mauer. Our payroll, frankly, was a little north of where I would tell you our revenues would suggest that it should be. I know fans generally don't want to care about that, but that's just the reality. Payroll is not the end-all relative to our division. We have a higher payroll than the Cleveland Guardians, and they've been a pretty successful operation over there. For us to be successful, what we really need to focus on is the dollars we're investing in reinvesting into our player development system so that we can develop a pitching pipeline. Everybody talks about free agency and pitching. That is not where we want to play. We want to play in developing David Festa, developing Simeon Woods Richardson, developing Louis Varland. That's the way Cleveland has built a perennial contender. It's the way Tampa Bay builds their contending teams. That's ultimately going to be the long-term answer for the Twins in this current economic system.
Among the texts coming in, somebody's already looking ahead to your schedule. next year and is looking at April and is saying there are 16 home games. You would know that better than I. Is that correct? And saying, obviously, I mean, when you count school, there's probably every team in baseball would rather have very few games in April, May. It hits home a little bit more here, and I'm with you. The ballpark, I mean, Dave and I, when we're at the ballpark recently, we're walking around going, it is remarkable how this place has held up 15 years in. It just looks absolutely spectacular. But how much leeway and how much pushback do you have on those April games?
You know, we talk about it with the league every year, and it ebbs and it flows a little bit, Chad. But you're right. Every Major League Baseball team wants as few home games probably in April as you can have.
Yeah.
And you're going to have roughly about 15. So, you know, I tend to focus more so on do we have a majority of our games between Memorial Day and Labor Day. And, you know, I think next year we have a slight majority within that window. But you're right. It's not ideal. You know, April is a crapshoot. We all know it. It can be workable. We've seen that for several years. It can be challenging. And, you know, but I don't disagree with the caller because we'd prefer to have fewer games, and I can assure you we will continue to advocate to have fewer games in April.
Dave St. Peter is with us. Okay, the six-inning starting pitching idea.
Yeah.
Okay, how long has this been discussed, and how close is it? I think I remember this, that the starting pitcher, has to go to six innings unless the starting pitcher is allowed four earned runs, 100 pitches, or some injury. Now, that is old school. That happened organically. This is trying to emphasize that starting pitching again, the idea that it would make the game better. What do you think about it?
Well, I think there's an emphasis to think about creative ways to incent teams to get starters to go deeper. And some of that comes from fan feedback around remembering, like, great starting pitching matchups and buying a ticket, for example, to go tomorrow night to watch Pablo Lopez go up 100%. Against Sonny Gray. And that's been part of our sport for a long time. How do you get there is the question, and how do you do it in a way that protects the players in a world where pitching is so fragile, we're throwing harder than ever, max effort. And, you know, this is an idea that's being kicked around. There's a variety of other ideas as well. I think for fans, for the first sign that baseball is very serious about taking a step like this, you would see it play out in the minor leagues. We would have to start this at the lower levels of the minor leagues and start building up pitchers much earlier.
So it would take 4 or 5 years probably, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't think this is one of those changes that you could make overnight. I think from a player development perspective, you would have to start a player that build-up. And I can assure you the heads of baseball operations, Derek Falvey with the Twins, has some probably pretty strong opinions on this type of a rule change.
Yeah.
However, it's also one of those things that owners and the commissioner care about, and I suspect there's going to be a continued emphasis on it.
I could see it 5 innings, too, man. I just have a tough time believing that 6 innings would finally be the number. I get it. I remember, you know, all the Twins games, Bly Levin, Nolan Ryan, or Jim Palmer, you name it. 6 is a big jump from where it is right now. Yeah.
The other idea that's been kicked around is perhaps you lose your DH when you pull your starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And you know,
do you like that one better?
You know, well, it's an interesting play. I don't know that the fans want to see – normally fans like to see DHs hit because they tend to be good hitters. So I'm not sure it's as fan-friendly. What I like about it is a little more strategy involved on whether you send your – starter out to, or have him finish an inning if you know your DH is going to be hitting over in the next half inning.
Probably matters too if you have Nelson Cruz or Jim Thome.
As your DH,
you know.
Exactly. We've had some good ones here in Minnesota. Yeah.
David, always appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Chad. And we appreciate WCCO, the home of the Twins, and let's hope for a good final stretch here and a lot of October baseball on CCO.
Absolutely. How about a round of applause for Dave St. Peter, Twins and Cardinals. You'll hear him right here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. Here we go. Let's play Am I Wrong with Dave Harrigan. The Am I Wrong committee was going to come up on the panel, but they decided they weren't going to. So I guess you're the spokesman.
Always have been.
For the Am I Wrong committee.
The committee's around. They're actually scattered around here. They like to maintain an air of secrecy.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
I can't blame them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very prestigious yet secretive organization, the Am I Wrong committee.
I'm going to go secretive. I'm not sure about the prestigious part.
Well, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. I'm not a part of the committee. It could be jealousy.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any debate about that.
Could I be a part of it? Is that possible?
No.
Okay.
No, you don't have enough cash.
Thank you.
Go back quick.
Trust me, that's accurate.
Go quick to the start of the show.
Yeah.
As you were talking spatial awareness.
Thank you.
You had a couple ideas. I'd like you to throw those out quickly.
Taser. Yeah. And I thought your idea of the human...
The pedestrian roundabout?
Is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard in my entire life.
One of the great...
That's your husband.
It got great reviews
last year. I mean, the human roundabout. I'm going to look at your family. Do you think humans here at the fair could figure out the human roundabout? Be honest.
It'll get us through the intersections much cleaner, much faster. We won't have so many spilled
cookies.
How
much security do you think we're going to have to monitor the pedestrian roundabout?
You're Mr. Taser guy.
I just think we should hand out a taser to everybody, low dosage taser. And if you're slowing down or you're stopping in front, just a little bzz,
all right,
little jolt.
Well, here's
that would go well, don't you think?
It might.
Yeah,
it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
All right.
I think she thinks I'm serious about the taser thing. She's very troubled by what I'm saying.
You're not playing a character here, are you?
Yeah. We'll workshop it.
Running up the flagpole.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with this then.
Okay.
You would like to clean up the congestion on the streets. There's no doubt about that.
Drives me nuts.
So a week or two ago,
yes,
saw in the Star Tribune story about the Minnesota Zoo. They set an all-time attendance
record
for the last fiscal year, and they say that's thanks in large part to the Treetop Trail.
Yeah.
Can we bring it to the fair? An elevated...
We have the Sky Ride.
Yeah, what you get, like one bucket of people that goes every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm talking elevated walkway throughout the fairgrounds. I don't know if you have it kind of like a bicycle wheel with spokes coming out. You kind of snake it through. Maybe it's a moving walkway like the airport. But you want no crowds. You got no food up there. You got no stopping. You got nothing to do except move your butt down the end of the way to the other spot of the fair.
Okay, so how high up in the air are we talking? We're talking like 30 feet or so?
I think so, 20 to 30. Yeah, enough to get over the over the buildings here. It's not too high.
Okay, will anybody walk on the street or will all be in this L-train sort of situation?
Well, if you want food, if you want to check out whatever it is on the ground level, you got to obviously stay down. There'll be a couple spots where you can hop off, get down the stairs if you need to. But for those people that say you're coming in on the east side and you want to get to the grandstand, you want to do it expeditiously, hit that moving.
Will there be like a speed lane too if you're going from one end to the other? Like the far left lane is kind of like the highway, where it goes much quicker.
I view it like the airport. You've got the moving walkway where if you stay to the right, if you just want to ride, you hang on the right. If you want to, you go to the left.
It would take away from the view, don't you think, if we're just looking at the walkway all the time?
Well, it's not going to cover the whole way. Plus, if it's raining, you can hide out under the walkway.
Go ahead, Josh. Hit the button.
Am I wrong?
Chris Tubbs.
Oh, is that Tubbsy? I'm sorry, Tubbsy.
Tubbsy!
Tubbsy!
Am I wrong?
I'm a little intrigued by this idea.
I knew you would be.
I'm a little intrigued by this. How are we paying for this idea? Personal seat license?
We'll get people. We got donors. We got donors.
This sounds like Kamala.
Sweet Martha.
Sounds like Kamala Harris would pay for some of the ideas, too. We don't know about that yet.
We'll worry about it later.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Another idea.
Yeah.
Two words that you and every other golfer knows.
I quit.
Well, you should know that from what I've heard. My goodness.
It's not good.
Twilight rate.
Twilight rate. Okay.
We need a twilight rate at the fair. Grandstand shows, I think, they need it most. Because we're talking about tickets now that can get over $200 to get into the grandstand show. Plus, you still have to pay, I think it's $18.
What does a single grandstand ticket cost?
Depends on the show.
Yeah.
Some are as low as, I think, 40 to 50. I mean, certainly there's different seating areas. But I was looking last night, and there's a couple shows that if you want to get in the good seats, the Hartman seats, you're over $200.
Are you serious?
Yes, you are.
Oh, my God.
So, how about we give a break to the concert goers? We'll start there. Maybe if you just want to also come by, maybe just grab dinner at the fair. That would be a nice thing to do after.
Sure.
Starting at 5:30. Which is 90 minutes before each of these grandstand shows kick off at 7 o'clock. If you have a ticket to the grandstand show, you get in for $5. You get in the door, the admission to the fairgrounds, for $5. No grandstand show, $10 after 5. Or, excuse me, after 5:30.
I mean, go ahead, Tubbsy.
Am I wrong?
I like it, but the state fair, when they still can charge you the money they can and you're still coming, why are they going to do that?
I think if you talk to the fair, you say, hey, let's market dinner at the fair. It's a Wednesday night. You're out of work. I don't want to go home and cook. Oh, I would just much rather just, you know, grab a parking spot, quick park and ride, grab a couple Pronto pups, bring them home for the kids. They'll get a taste of the fair.
I think we get so many people who come out at that time of day. I mean, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to be the person to say the fair should charge more.
Sounds like you are.
No, I'm not. But look how many people are here in front of us and everywhere. It's a packed house.
Yeah, wait till 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock when the crowds die down. You want to fill it up, baby?
I think you have to go later. I think you're, what'd you say, 5:30?
I said 5:30 to try to give the grandstand show folks time to get in, grab a bite, and get to their seat for the show.
Yeah. No, I think it's for like 9 o'clock. That's when we can reduce the price.
Can we keep it at 5:30 for the grandstand show ticket holders?
Yeah, I guess if you've paid for the grandstand. Like, who's tonight? We had Becky G last night. Does anybody know who's there tonight? I don't know.
I think it's a hip-hop show, and I can't remember who.
Probably why. I'm not super familiar. Do we have like a major act that everybody's talking about this year? Like
Kidz Bop.
Brandi Carlile, you know, has been.
Chance the Rapper tonight.
Oh, well, Chance the Rapper, I'm very familiar with. Chance the Rapper is probably one of the biggest names we have at the grandstand, don't you think?
148 is the top seat for him.
Yeah.
Nate Bargatze, the comedian tomorrow night.
Yeah.
197.
He's begging for Motley Crue to come out here.
They're out here next Thursday.
Oh, my.
The Crew, baby.
Let me just say this. If the Crew was in my backyard, I'd shut the blinds. I mean, there was a point in my life where I listened to some Crew. I probably still would occasionally. If I got KQ on and Motley Crue comes on, but am I going to seek out Motley Crue? No.
You'd also shut those very noise-tight Pella windows.
With my Pella windows. Yes, yeah, I would. With the blinds right there. Thank you, Dave Herrick. More of Am I Wrong with the Dave Harrigan-led Am I Wrong Committee on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Your Linda's Construction Time Check. It's time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin and get that installation labor free. Jason has joined us. Who doesn't want to join Am I Wrong? It's the talk of the fair. That's what I've
heard. It is.
That's the talk. All right, Mr. Harrigan. One person loves your state fair ideas.
In fact, read that text
is
again,
calling for you to be the president of the United States. I mean,
well, there's an opening now that RFK dropped out.
Yeah,
you could run.
Did he make that announcement in the last hour or so?
Yes.
And did he endorse Donald?
I don't know.
Yeah.
There was a court filing that said he was going to endorse Donald Trump, so I assume he did.
Yeah.
Dan Cook is working real hard on tracking down sort of the latest developments for us.
Well, that, I mean.
Am I wrong?
I was going to say, do we pay as rapt attention to what's happening in the world when we're at the fair?
No.
No. Well, that's the answer.
No.
I mean, now, I'm not saying if we were under attack, you know.
Right.
You know, we'd still.
I'd probably go back to station because it's very hard to focus out here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we might have the reptiles on and say, oh, by the way, New York, gone. But we got the snakes right here in front of us. All right, Dave, what do you have next?
All right, back to the spatial awareness. Everyone will complain about strollers and wagons and all that, right? That's a big, big problem with getting around.
Yes.
I noticed that Kids Day is coming up at the fair next Wednesday. Right? Kids get special admission. There's deals to get
your kids
out.
Are right here. They look adorable.
They're fantastic. Deals at the, you know, the rides and the games.
Kidway, sure.
Yeah, all that. So let's do this. Kids Day on Wednesday. No Kids Day on Thursday. No tantrums. No strollers. Adults get the run of the giant slide in the arcades. Kids, banned.
Dead to us.
Am I wrong?
Topsy, 100% agree. 1,000% agree. There should be one day where kids, you know what happens when you show up? Lose our number, the fair says. You are not allowed in the place. Maybe they have a giant playpen outside. And you could, you can bring your kids and put like up to 10,000 kids.
Sure.
In the giant playpen.
In daycare center.
And good luck to all of them.
Who hurt you two? What is wrong with you?
This is the guy who's so excited for his last child to get out of the house next year and tells us all the time. So now it's, who hurt you guys?
I love children. I love dogs. And, in fact, I think not only should we have Kids Day, we should have Bring Your Dog to the Fair Day, right? Bring your dog! Yeah.
Let's get to it. He's a dog hater. Don't believe a single thing he is saying. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Of course you do.
Well, yeah. there is no kids at the fair time. It's like after 8 p.m. at night.
I don't know about that. I don't think you're here enough because I've been here a couple times lately. There's a lot of kids here still.
Like, what's your cutoff for your no kid day?
6 a.m. when it opens
up. What age? What age qualifies?
I think 16 and over, you're allowed in. You can drive yourself here.
Yeah,
on it.
Driver's license. If you're eligible.
What is the issue with kids? Is it the...
Sometimes they're pretty good, sometimes they...
I know, but who's more annoying at the fair? I would be more open to banning people who are 21 through 29. Like, those packs of people are the most annoying, except for you.
Look, I mean, she's right here. I would encourage you to leave when he starts, okay? Yeah. Do you hear what he said? Yeah. You lose my number.
I mean, who's more disruptive at the fair?
Oh, come on. And the kids.
Probably boys.
When you're walking around, the kids are stopping and starting and having the tantrums.
Oh, well, so are old people. You want to get rid of them?
I mean, that's what I do, noon to 3 on CCU every day. I don't want the competition.
Yeah, it's fair.
You want to mention a guest because we got about 15 seconds.
Steve Grove from the Star Tribune starts us off. And Andrew Zimmern at the end of the show.
Very nice. Thank you, everybody. Round of applause for stopping on by. Jason, and then Twins Baseball here on the home of the Twins, WCCO.
All right, it's Jason out here. We thank the Canopy Group at canopygroup.com for helping us out, supporting the show.
Notice those 20-year-olds left, by the way.
I know.
They're only human.
I just had to pick another side here. The two of you ganging up on kids, what am I supposed to do? I agree. Get kids out of the fair. That's no fun.
I didn't call for him to be shot or anything. It's just one day when you can walk around without 4-year-old hanging on your leg.
I like coming here. And when the kids were younger, we would come with the kids. We'd try to come with friends. And then we'd come just to listen.
Dan,
I had a nice little romantic night at the fair.
Dan, come here. Do you believe any of this? This guy never took his kids to fireworks. So would he really believe that he really had a great time? You know what he did?
You know.
He brought him to restaurant after restaurant to try food. That's what he did.
I believe everything Jason has.
That's right. That's right.
All right, he's done.
My teenager was here yesterday.
Yeah.
Sam was here. Seth has been out here. It's all good. I don't know.
Not the same when they're 5, man. You know that.
What's the best thing? Have you eaten anything outside of whatever, like, Jeeves brings over to you on the show? Who knows? We're out of time. Goodbye.